I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. A couple of well-fed gentlemen today.
Thank you to Due South for dropping off this delicious free food today. Head to Due South Dockside on the Capitol Riverfront Boardwalk this summer for a drink with a view. Featuring a wide selection of tasty beverages and a menu full of Due South favorites, their waterside location is the perfect place to gather all season long. Love those guys.
You have heard the voice of our guest on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Wes McElroy, on Virginia Tech pre- and post-game coverage, as well as mornings on Fox Sports 910 in Richmond. Friend of the program back with us and talking training camp on this, the eve of practice number one. Wes, are the good folks of Richmond ready for the Redskins to come back to the Capitol?
I think the facility's getting ready. Mother Nature's not been too helpful because it's just been nonstop rain here for about 6 or 7 days. But I mean, for the most part, the city's ready to welcome another year for the Redskins. Attendance is always a fun topic to talk about, but we'll start finding that out over the next couple of days, guys.
Yeah, Wes, I get the sense that it's more than like the bloom is off the rose. It's like now the rose petals are dead, and everyone's taking like the sharp parts of the rose and like stabbing each other. It's just a bad time, it seems like. Everyone in Richmond is ticked off, it feels like, buddy.
Yeah, look, there's no sugarcoat in this. I have no affiliation to the team or to the city. It is what it is every year. You will get tomorrow probably a nice crowd. You'll get your typical local news stations out there shooting the one or two people that sleep overnight because they got to get the best spot. Someone yelling, Redskins going to the Super Bowl. But the attendance it's kind of been flat. It's overall a disappointing project. I know some people wouldn't say that because you have an NFL team here in Richmond, and it's nice. It's the accessibility to go see perhaps your favorite team in Richmond. But they're never going to slam the face. It's never going to be like year one when Robert Griffin III was here. Kirk Cousins didn't draw those crowds. The team kind of hovering around that 500 record doesn't draw crowds. Maybe this year Darius Geis will bring some more people in and brought more of an attraction. But at the end of the day, you guys know this. You've been to training camp. You cover it. It's not like the old days. I grew up outside the Philly area. I remember my dad taking me when Buddy Rye would hold camp. It was hits. It was get after it, not just the snot out of each other. Now it's a way more controlled atmosphere. There's not much physicality. And at the end of the day, it's practice.
Yeah, it used to be a lot closer to a game, and that has changed considerably, and I think that is certainly a factor in terms of the popularity of the practices. Wes McElroy is our guest here on 106.7 The Fan. But why do you think the relationship between Richmond and the Redskins hasn't gone smoother or better? And maybe you want to answer it from the fan perspective of the turnout, but just in general, where are we at in that rapport at this point?
Well, I think there's a couple different layers there. One, I think, to be fair to the conversation, the city, in its previous administration, Mayor Jones, did a terrible deal with the Redskins. It was great for the Redskins. I mean, they got the building built for them. They're getting $500,000 a year. I mean, look, Dan Snyder is not a rich man for being a dummy. Like, it was a great setup for the Redskins. It worked around with the Bon Secours Health System. Great for them. Bad for the city. For a city, and for people who don't know Richmond, if I can describe it, I've been here for 10 years. I came here in my late 20s, my single years. I met my wife here. We have a daughter. We have a house. I did basically what the typical Richmonder does. You hang out in the city in your 20s, great bar scene, great restaurants. Grant, you know it. You've been down here. Great place to eat. Great place to live. Until you want to have a family. And then you move out of the city, and that's where you raise your kids. And I'm in the West End, and that's where we're going to raise our daughter because of the school system. The school system in Richmond is poor. Mayor Stoney right now, LeVar Stoney, is trying his butt off to get the schools improved. At the end of the year, there was a controversy whether or not there was enough toilet paper at the end of the year to go through schools. It's not a good look for the city when they're spending $500,000 a year bringing the Redskins in. It's also not a good look when you see the attendance be so low that they pull the attendance numbers, they stop reporting them. And They tried food trucks out front. That did not work. That was reduced in the past 2 years. By the third year, no one was bringing a food truck or paying the fee to be out there. And it's just different times of the year, different times of practice. Practice used to be in the afternoon, walkthrough in the morning. Even if you went to the walkthrough, you didn't have to stay there for lunch. You could go walk through, get your autograph, go home for lunch. Now they've done the practices in the morning. That may help attendance. It's 9:45, runs 2 hours, may help the vendors, but the vendors weren't seeing a great amount of business out of it. So it's almost been learning as you go in terms of the business, but it feels at the end of the campaign every year that you get about the same crowds that you've gotten for the past 3 to 4 years.
At West Fox Sports 910, our buddy Wes McElroy down in Richmond does a great job doing mornings, Virginia Tech pre- and post-game host. He is the man in the Commonwealth. Wes, I think you kind of touched on this already. The buzz, the excitement, it was there, and now it's kind of tapered off, and there's not too much to invigorate, I think, some of the locals, and some of there's displeasure there with the Redskins. Here's my impression, and I talked to a good friend, a couple that live in Richmond as well about this. I got the sense that Richmond got the shaft here, and they were basically used as kind of a, I don't want to say bait and switch, but we'll give you this if it means a stadium in Loudoun County. I always thought that was kind of the backroom, Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder kind of dealing here with the governor and everything else, and I think Richmond is the one that kind of was left footing the bill in terms of deficit. Is that a sense, is that a conspiracy theory that you guys have maybe down there?
Danny, I don't think it's conspiracy theory. I think your friends are exactly right. They always felt like, and people always ask me, would the city just be enough? Would they stop paying it? And I said, until that stadium is designated somewhere, no one's stirring it up because everybody wants that money. Governor McDonald, they wanted the tax money. They wanted the team to stay in Ashburn at headquarters. Everybody wants that stadium. So until that stadium is decided upon and the land is granted, nobody is upsetting the apple cart for $500,000 a year in Richmond. And you're right, at the end of the day. Now, I will say this in defense of, I guess, the Redskins. Look, you're at a negotiation table. It's, hey, let's make a deal. Let's see who's got the best of the deal. City still signed it. And involved in it was Bon Secours, and that's something that the mayor wanted. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I go back to the school systems. You're paying $500,000 a year. And think about what $500,000 is to the Redskins. They really need it. On top of that, you're paying $500,000 a year. And you're paying $750,000 in annual expense in retiring the debt for the actual building, which they had these delusions of grandeur that, oh, well, the Redskins will use the first floor during their training camp, and then we'll rent these offices out. Well, and nobody moved in there. And then it was, well, hey, we'll rent this property out for wedding receptions and festivities and festivals. And I don't know exactly how that's going, but you have this beautiful building that was built, this beautiful facility, and the top of it is – remained vacant for now over a half decade.
Wes McElroy and Grant and Danny, what are you expecting from the Redskins this season?
This is a great point because I've gone round and round and I look at them, I mean, point blank, I look at them as an 8-8 team. I think they're better than last year. I think they've addressed the wide receiver position. I'm excited about what could be with Darius Geis. I can't imagine 36 different concoctions of the O-line. I saw improvement on the defense until they got banged up last year. I see a much tougher schedule. But here's my problem, and we'll find out later today when we talk to Jay Gruden about Josh Doctson. I can look at every NFL team on paper and say, ooh, I like this, and I could see this. On paper, I could talk myself into the Redskins being a wild card team. But one of the first things you hear about the team is Josh Doctson going through a cautionary MRI. You think about the three best offensive weapons on this team – in Doctson, in Chris Thompson, and then in Jordan Reed, and all three, like you can't bank that they're going to be there for the majority of the time. You can hope. And that's where I wonder what Alex Smith can do. I like Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith is a little bit of an upgrade in my, just the way I see him to Kirk Cousins, a little bit more athletic. He needs playmakers. He's same thing with Kirk Cousins. Not going to be a guy who puts the team on his shoulders and carries him. He's going to need playmakers and guys around him. And you're going to need these guys out there, and the biggest question about the three of them is, can they be out there?
Wes, for me, I wish they were as good as they seem to think they are. Each of these last couple years, they've gotten this, watch this, watch what's going to happen vibe. Now, last year, it was derailed because of injuries. You mentioned 36 different O-line combinations, Jordan Reed really not being himself at any point, coming into the training camp with that foot issue and whatever else. But they seem to be very confident. There's no need to go out and get a left guard because we've already got Sean Laval. Okay, I'm sure that's going to work out for you. But they're not doing anything marquee. They were basically saying here, our group as constructed is good enough in what looks, again, as you mentioned, on paper. Who knows what's going to happen in November, December. But on paper, looks like a really, really deep and tough NFC where it's going to be tough sledding.
Danny, I get the same exact impression, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow when I get on the air. I have two questions. One going into camp and one going into the season. And as we keep hearing, you know, Gruden has said this about Alex Smith. This is not a 2 or 3 year plan. It's next year. It's like he's got to get this right away. Bruce Allen, I know you guys talked about it a ton because I listen to you every day, but Bruce Allen saying that wins and losses are the only stat that matters. Okay, so it's not been a soap opera. It's not been going back to the end of the Robert Griffin III and Mike Shanahan years. It's not Jim Zorn. It hasn't been a soap opera. They haven't been a punchline to a joke. But how much longer can 7-9 and 7-8-1 and 9-7, if they don't make the playoffs, because if they feel this good, if they don't get to the playoffs this year, if they get to 9 wins, is that good enough? If they get to 8-8, are they going to break off what they've been building? We know there's been adjustments around the front office, questions about Bruce Allen and where he is on a stable platform, Jay Gruden. And then here's my question, and great, I know you talked about this a ton. My question about going into training camp is the U word. And it's the U word that we talk about in September, and that's urgency. Jay Gruden is 0-4 in season openers. I believe I wrote this down right. He's 5-8 in September. This team has got Arizona and Indy to start. Then they go to Green Bay, and then Danny, as you alluded to, it only gets tougher. We talked about the tone of camp, how camp is gone, the approach, preseason games. I want to see right off the bat, is there a change to Jay Gruden with the urgency and the intensity of this camp?
I think it's a great question, and it's something that has plagued him early on here in his time in Washington. Wes, can't wait to see you down in Richmond, buddy. It's going to be fun. I'm coming down tonight, actually. I'll be there for the next couple of days, and then Danny and I are down there early next week together.
See you soon, buddy.
So we'll see you.
Excellent. Look forward to seeing you guys.
You bet. There's Wes McElroy. You can check him out on Richmond Radio, and again, pre and post of the Virginia Tech Hokies as well, giving us a little temperature of RVA. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Window Nation, people, it's here. It's here right now. It's Grant and Danny for our friends at Window Nation. The buy one, get one free sale. Limited time. You buy one window, you get the next one absolutely free. There's no limit to this. So if you buy four, what are you going to get? Four for free. You buy eight, you get eight. It's like buying windows for the front of the house and getting the windows for the back of the house for free. Plus, I got a financing deal that my friend Grant's going to tell you about.
0% financing for 18 months. And if you call right now today, it's 0% financing for 36 months. That's half your windows free. 3 years at 0%. How could they sweeten this summer deal any nicer than that? Well, how about they're throwing in a couple tickets to Kings Dominion, my favorite amusement park? Window Nation's biggest sale of the season ends this Sunday. Call now for a buy one window, get one free, no limit. 0%, 36 months, and the day off at Kings Dominion, they're giving you a couple of tickets. Call them at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com.
Tell them Grant and Danny sent you. Window Nation, perfect fit for your home. And wow.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Final few minutes stretch run of Grant and Danny here on The Fan. It is time for our drive around the league brought to you by your local Honda dealer. Get more during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. Visit your local Honda dealer today. Do not settle for less than a Honda. The Phillies are actually in action right now. They were down 1-0 after the top of the first. They have tied the game at 1 on a solo shot by Reese Hoskins. So they are tied at 1 right now after 2 innings with the Dodgers. The Phillies, of course, find themselves 12 games over 500. They have become the scarier team in the division than Atlanta, based at least on the last couple of weeks, with the Braves having come back down to earth considerably. But Philadelphia is hitting for a lot of power at home in this series, and yeah. Hoskins is the latest guy to deliver a big fly. So they're all even as the Nats are going to keep their fingers crossed for a little help from the Dodgers this afternoon, maybe get a win tonight, and pull to within 6 in the National League East.
As you start to go around both the division and the National League, every metric that you come up with, meaning if you start measuring here and go to now, you know, whatever it is, since May 16th, since May 1st, since June 10th, whatever. But since the middle of May, the Nationals have the third worst record in the National League. They're 7-11 over their last 18 games. There's no good measure of what's going on right now. You know what I mean? You can only find, like, if two consecutive guys get hits, like two straight guys have gotten hits. That's the smallest thing that you could possibly come up with at this point. They've got runners on base consecutively for the first time in 10 years. Whatever it is right now, there's nothing that's coming up Nationals that looks any good. Nothing. It's all faces, right?
Yeah, they're just not. There's no calling card. There's nothing they can hang their hat on. You know, and generally there's something. Forever with this team, it's been starting pitching, which is a weakness. I mean, they're hitting right now. That, like, if you look at team batting average and on-base percentage, those things have been really good of late. But they're not scoring enough because they're not coming through with the big hit.
Right.
They'll get two guys on, three guys on at times and score one run. No runs. Time and time and time again. And that's the difference between the really good lineups and everybody else, is whether or not you can get that run home, which has become a major issue for them. Josh in D.C. has a question for us, I'm being told. What's up, Josh?
Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. Long-time fan. You guys got a great show.
Thank you.
I know you're talking baseball right now, but, you know, I just wanted to ask a question about, you know, I was thinking about Kirk Cousins, you know, just something I like to do in my free time. And I'm wondering if y'all think that the DC sports media is going to cover his career the same with the same vigor that they covered Robert Griffin III after he left the city. So are we going to follow his success and failures in Minnesota?
I don't think so. I'd be shocked if he got that treatment.
I would say there will be interest in it as a point of comparison. You know what I mean? But to the degree, I mean, if he's, because it sounded like there was a little bit critical of maybe it's us, maybe everybody. And I'm fine with that, by the way. I'll wear that. But there was no social and cultural, oh my God, phenomenon that Kirk Cousins had, like RG3 had.
Yeah, to me, he's going to be monitored closely because of the decision not to sign him. So if the Vikings go 12-4 and he makes the Pro Bowl and they go play in the Super Bowl, that's a big story, and it'll be covered as such. Just like if he falls on his face and the Vikings miss the playoffs with all the expectations and he throws 21 interceptions, mm-hmm. I mean, that'll be covered as well. But the reason the Griffin story was covered the way that it was, there won't be a 30-for-30 necessarily on Kirk Cousins. He was never popular at the level Robert Griffin was, where people were referring to him as a deity and Jesus and all. I mean, he was
a rock
the
star.
Most popular player in this city that I've ever experienced in my lifetime as a 30-year-old in 2012.
If Kirk Cousins had played great, he wasn't going on the Tonight Show. Robert Griffin went on the Tonight Show before he played it down, wearing goofy socks.
Right.
You see the difference? So that bothered some people. Like, why do you guys care about Robert Griffin? The other part was to address the thirst, which, quite frankly, there was. Because there is still, even as we move forward and watch Griffin bomb out of Cleveland, get hurt on the first play, not be able to make that club, spend a year crossing up dudes at a YMCA in Estonia, whatever he was doing, there's still people that think he'd have been great here if Jay Gruden hadn't screwed him. A huge percentage of the fan base felt that way. So in covering him, A, you have the rock star status that he enjoyed. The fall from grace, whoever's fault you want to blame it on, that's your prerogative. I don't really care anymore. We're long past that. But then how it all ended. This sort of summarily dismissed a guy that a lot of people felt were done wrong. You combine all those things, yes, there was going to be interest in what he was doing after he left Washington, D.C. You're not getting the same daily training camp updates from Baltimore about him anymore. We've kind of gotten past that point. There will be some interest in Cousins, because here's what happened objectively. The Redskins decided, no, we don't want to pay this person. That is their right. That is a decision. I get it. No problem. You moved on. That means, though, you chose someone else over this person. So if Alex Smith performs great and the Redskins are winning, no one will give a damn. It'll get moved on. But let's say, for the sake of argument, Cousins wins, though, in Minnesota, and there's more of the same, the 8-8, 7-9 type stuff where Smith is fine and the Redskins aren't fine and it's just okay. People will have that as point of comparison. So there will be some interest in what Cousins is doing, but it's not going to approach Griffin.
It's way more simple for me than all of that, to be honest. Everything you just said was probably true. It was a lot. Here it is for me. Robert Griffin was a way bigger deal in this town than Kirk Cousins. He just was. It was bigger than football. It was a both of those guys were polarizing, Danny, but he was a larger than sports figure. And I think the thing you said that's 1,000% correct was about the Tonight Show. The only way Kirk Cousins was getting on a show like that is if he's winning the Super Bowl and they're asking him to come the next day.
Right.
Robert Griffin was on national news, national outlets before he ever got to Washington. There weren't folks chanting Kirk Cousins' name at practices at training camp like they would by the thousands when Robert Griffin was here. There's just no comparison. So the difference in the story, the fervor, the support, the disdain, whatever it is, it's not the same. The Cousins story is a lot more like any decision you make to move on from a player who goes elsewhere, a wide receiver who goes and plays somewhere else, you know, Antonio Pierce with the Giants. It's a lot more of that to me than it was Robert Griffin, where you had this controversy, this turmoil of how it ended. Whose fault was it? Did a coach screw him? Did he hate the coach? Did they wrong him? Is he actually a lot better than they think he is? All of these things. You get small, I guess, chocolate chip chunks of that in your cookie from Kirk Cousins. Very little. There are some elements of
that.
It's
like a chocolate flake instead of a chocolate chunk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just not a lot to go around there. Let's preview the Nats and the Brewers really quickly. Some notes from today. So the Brewers are trying to sweep the Nationals. You're going to hear the game at 2 o'clock right here on the Fan. Pre-game with Charlie and Dave starts in 5 minutes. The Nationals have not been swept on the road in a three-game series this year, other than one time, and that was in Toronto against the Blue Jays.
That's right.
The Brewers today are throwing a 22-year-old rookie named Freddy Peralta, who, when he's right, strikes a lot of guys out. He's 4-1. He's made 7 major league starts. He has allowed 0 or 1 run in 4 of those 7 starts. He's actually been very, very good.
Grant and I have had kind of a running argument all year long about what's more responsible for the Nationals being where they are and or what's going to happen, pitching or the hitting. I've said hitting. Grant said pitching. Well, here's a check mark for the Grant Paulson column on today's game notes. Tanner Roark is looking for his first win since June the 6th. In that span, he is... These numbers are just, oh my God. You should basically turn your mic off and walk around the studio without a shirt on.
He's not very good.
His numbers in that span, 0-6 with a 7.68 ERA in his last 7 starts in that span. Oh man, are those numbers Tony Stark to look at.
Just keep trotting him out there every fifth day. You don't really have an option.
Wow.
Against Roark in their careers, in case you're curious, some of the Brewers. So Christian Yelich in 33 at-bats is hitting about .240. He's got a double, and he's walked 11 times, which is a ton. And Lorenzo Cain's 1-for-4 with a strikeout. I think those are a couple of the guys in the lineup today with some of the most at-bats against Roark, who 0-6, 7.68 last 7 starts. I think is pitching for the rest of his season here. If he goes out there and he goes 3 1/3, gives up 8 hits and 7 runs again today, and just gets shellacked.
If he Roarks it.
You cannot do this again. Now, what I think people would say, and what Mike Rizzo told the Junkies, is we don't really have another option right now. You got to find one.
Yeah, Fetty's rehabbing.
One, by the way, Tom Malone in AAA, who is not a major league starting pitcher in my mind.
Right.
In his last, I saw the numbers the other day, like 7 starts or something like that at 3A ball. Has like a sub-4 ERA and is pitching pretty competitively.
Tommy Malone, come on down.
Try that. You cannot keep doing this. Another thing you could do is trade for a back-of-the-rotation starter, because even though we joke, well, Cole Hamels isn't that good, or Jay Happ's not that good, the market's terrible. They're all better than having an 8 ERA over a 10-start stretch.
Yeah, I'm with you. You can't keep doing this. If you're up 12 games, absolutely. Work it out. You ain't.
You're with me then, 7. When I say Roark is pitching for the rest of his season today. Because I'm telling you, if it's me,
right,
he is.
It may or may not come down to that. I will say this. Over the next few weeks.
Well, it's too late in a few weeks.
I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about pitching for his Nationals future.
Okay, well, that is a whole different. I'm talking about keeping his job in the rotation. If he stinks today, he's out. It's time. Things have to be done.
Yeah. You know, we don't have time for you to work it out. But, yeah, I would. That's all. How about this? I would say, I don't think I'd tell him this, but I'd say, I'm not doing this again.
Him.
Yeah, I'm not doing this again.
I don't know that helps him if you go up to him before the start.
Hey, here's some extra pressure.
Right. Right. But seriously, Tommy Malone has a 4-1 ERA in 20 starts.
I don't care if you don't want to use Tommy Malone. Use anybody.
And by the way, the craziest thing in the world, he's got more strikeouts than innings pitched this year. Like, I think of Tommy Malone, I think of a guy who strikes out 3 every 8 innings or so.
I think I'm hoping that the contact's at somebody.
I never want to see Austin Voth in a million years.
I'm good on that.
I have no interest in that. But I don't. You name the player. I don't really care. I will call them up from AAA in Syracuse's rotation, and they will make the next start. John Sims. I don't know who you are. I wouldn't recognize you if you were sitting in this office.
John Sims, you know, from the Sims family.
11th round pick in 2013. I don't know you at all. You're starting 5 days from now if Roark gets rocked again, assuming you're healthy. I mean, that's where I'm at on this. I'm just not going to keep doing this.
Yeah, I can't trot it out there. I'm with you.
And I'm not that far away on Gio from doing the same thing, by the way. But he's
Gio did have a good start in there to buy him a little more time.
He is a little bit more competitive than Roark at this juncture. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Charlie and Dave have your pregame next. If you missed any part of today's show, including Mike Rizzo's audio on whether or not Bryce Harper could be traded if a bad week ensues, you'll want to hear that. FanDP.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. Charlie and Dave are next right here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.